Please be advised, this episode of the SL Cabinet contains discussion of sexual assault, which may be offensive to some listeners.
Dumelang Thobela, hello and welcome to this week's news wrap-up brought to you by the SL Cabinet. I am your host today, Gwena Mashale, joined by my colleagues Nandine Tini and Herman Molloy. Guys, say hello.
Hi.
We are the youth of today, bringing you all things new and current affairs through our eyes. I hope you stick with us as we look at the week's biggest stories, talk about the controversies and laugh about the weird ones. Let's get comfortable and dive right in. So tomorrow, Saturday, 26th of October, marks 10 years since the tragic death of Senzo Meiwa, the former Bafana Bafana and Orlando Pirates captain, right? He was shot and killed on October 26, 2014 at the home of his mother's girlfriend, Kelu Khumalo, okay, in Fort Lawrence, right? So the case has been highly... It has been ongoing for a long time. There have been five men who have been on trial for the past 5 years facing charges raised related to his murder, you know. So there's just a lot of up and downs, ne? Herman, you usually cover this stuff, the cases. Like, what are your thoughts on this, man, with the anniversary coming up?
Yeah, it's sad because the Meiwa's family have not healed from the pain because even his father had to pass away. Not had to, but... did pass away at the time without even knowing who, what happened to my son.
Yeah.
And again, sometimes it all seems like it's fun and games in court because we are not getting a direction. We're not getting a clear picture of what's happening. Mm. I mean, sometimes earlier this year, we learned that Kelu Khumalo is the alleged mastermind of this case. Mm. So it's quite sad for the Meiwa's family. I know Orlando Pirates fans are still healing from the pain. To think of it, it happened while I was still in school.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I'm out of school. So you get to understand. It even feels like it happened way before FIFA World Cup because, I don't know, man, there's something that makes it feel like it's old. And by this time, we should have closed the chapter, but we're still opening this chapter. I mean, it's very, very, very sad.
And I think, really, the case itself, I think it kind of sets a precedent. Yeah. Is that the word? A precedent for other cases that are ongoing. Because imagine this is a high-profile case.
Yeah.
Then you also you consider other high-profile cases, like your AKA. Is it also going to
drag like this?
And the thing is, it's like there's always like exciting things that are happening in one day. Then the next day it's boring, like they're going over somebody's calls. Yeah. But then there are days where I think there was one point there was a phone call or a SIM card that was kind of found. Was that the case?
The phone calls that Kelly made with the alleged accused. So when you speak about high profiles, I mean if. A high-profile case can drag this long.
Yeah.
What about those young cases in the magistrate court that we don't know of? What's happening?
Exactly.
Yeah, so Nandi, what's your thought?
Well, when you're saying, this thing happened in high school and it feels like it happened long ago, I think it's mainly because we still don't know what's going on.
Mm.
The changing judges. I mean, I just wonder how the family felt like when they're like, okay, now we're changing the judge.
Yeah.
So it means, what's going on? Are we ever going to fight? Are we starting again?
No,
and I remember I think it was my VanEck teacher in grade 10. It wasn't grade 10. It was 2014. I don't know.
Yeah, 2014.
Yeah. I think it happened on Sunday, ne?
It was, Sunday.
On Sunday. Yeah, and then on Monday, Sunday. She was down. You could see, because she loved Senzo Meiwa, and she was a fan of the Pirates. And that period, we were all quiet. It's like we lost someone so important in the country. And now, we still don't know what's going on. It's very sad.
Yeah.
I mean, we did lose someone important. He was doing well in terms of his professional football. Yeah.
Well, hopefully, you know, I hope it doesn't set a precedent for other cases. And I do hope the family and Meiwa eventually get the justice that they need. I think it's been a long time coming. It's been too long. I mean, now 10 years is a long time, guys, for us to still be on one case, it doesn't make sense. I mean, you even have other cases that have come and gone. Settlements have done.
Like, I mean, Rosemary came and gone.
Yeah. Rosemary again is going to court again. And it's probably going to be even done before Issen Domeiwa. Exactly. So, like, there's just a lot of problems. And I think maybe what probably started the problem was the fact that the house itself was already contaminated before the police came.
I think that was the problem.
Yeah. Mm.
At the time when you attended the crime scene, did you know what to do when you attend crime scene? Had you received any training, in-service training whatsoever, in-house training as to what to look for, what to do when you attend the crime scene?
I look and go for the Sokoni College.
Yes, that's what I was taught in the college.
You testified that you left to the hospital and you left the crime scene with Mr. Kumalo. Do you remember that? That was not guarding. It means you left the evidence with someone else who was not a member of the police office. Am I correct? If you have no answer, just say so. We have no answer.
Umago, go to
him.
I don't have an answer.
I'm telling you that you left the crime scene when you knew exactly that you were supposed to guard the crime scene. You left it to with Mr. Kumalo.
Okay.
You also failed to prevent the tampering with the crime scene and left the crime scene with Mr. Kumalo.
You need to some jail.
Isn't it that you're still putting it to me?
Yes. Do you have any comment?
I want some jail.
Because you are putting it to me, it's fine.
Yeah. Do you agree with me that you left the crime scene with Mr. Kumalo?
No.
With whom did you leave the crime scene with?
Mishianga Muntu.
I didn't leave anyone.
And when at the time when you left the crime scene to the hospital, why didn't you leave? You said you were four. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why didn't you leave the other two members behind to look after the crime scene to ensure that there's no tampering with the crime scene?
Because in our minds, nothing had yet registered or told us that it was a sin. There's no way that we would have left people not knowing as to what was happening.
You know the reason why I'm asking you these questions, Mr. Nteto? It's because as a police officer, you had a legal duty to guard the crime scene to avoid the tampering of the crime scene.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm going to show you through the statements of the people who made statements how the crime scene was tampered with after you had left the crime scene.
Okay.
And I think police maybe should actually like maybe be more out there and tell people when something happens, don't touch anything.
At some point, also that thing does not make sense, but it also does. Because you're saying we had a spa in the house, so we didn't want to portray a house of maybe alcoholics or what. At some point, it's a crime that happened. Mm. You know that there's DNA that needs to be taken.
But then it also shows you why did they clean it up as well? Because that's also a question. That's also another thing that question people have. Like, why do you clean up a crime scene? You know the police need to come and do their processes. Mm. So I think that's just a lot of things that has to happen and will probably be delved into Kokoto. Hopefully they address it. Mm. But we live and learn, guys. But hopefully the court systems learn from Issen Domeiwa. So guys, hey, in the GNU, our lovely government National of Unity, there's been a lot going on, right? So John Steenhuisen, the leader of the Democratic Alliance, has distanced himself, right, from President Cyril Ramaphosa. Obviously, they were never close to begin with.
Yeah.
But it was a matter yaore, like, we all know who they were partners, partners in crime. But now, Mugaya is like, no, but how many even made me laugh yesterday? He's like, no, chief, that's your friend.
Not our friend.
It is
your friend.
So Ramaphosa made a few comments regarding Russia. And obviously, this was during the recent BRICS summit. And Ramaphosa referred to Russia as a valued ally and friend.
We're also delighted to be here to brief you and others of the journey that we have embarked upon as South Africa. We've formed a government of national unity following our elections in May of this year. So we will have time, as I briefed you on the telephone, but we will have time to talk more about that and inform you how that whole process of governing South Africa with a number of other parties is evolving as we have sought to unite the country, to stabilize the country politically. And we're rather pleased that with your support in every respect, we've been able to reach this point in the history of our country. So we continue to see Russia as a valued ally, as a valued friend, who supported us right from the beginning, from the days of our struggle against apartheid, right through to now. So we're really delighted to be here.
And Steenhuisen was like, no, we don't agree with that. They're basically stating that DA does not consider Russia as an ally, especially with how Ukraine has gone. And obviously, we all remember Vele Vele during the time when the war between Russia and Ukraine came out at the beginning, at the peak. We all saw many political parties taking stands and which side they support. We all knew Vele Vele DA was going with Ukraine. That was a given. And obviously, the ANC, your EFF, were all behind Russia. So now, in a situation like this, and I think a lot of people, a lot of South Africans would like, we're now in a government of unity. Is it not better to show a forefront of unity, right? But I guess that doesn't matter, regardless of whether or not we are in unity. I mean, you even see it with the metros. You see it with the cities. So, like, guys, like, why can't we be friends, man?
Nah, DA, I really don't know what's going on with the DA. I mean, saying that publicly, I mean, we are part of this BRICS thing. We're building our economy. And then DA comes and say, hey, Ramaphosa, that's your friend, not ours. I don't think they understand the importance of having the BRICS summit in South Africa. Maybe one because they know they always have something.
Yeah.
Whatever happens for South Africa. But the way he positioned the statement, like every time he just opposes. We're not siding with the Ramaphosa. But
I mean, he's good at opposing. He's good.
He's good at opposing. I think that also blinds him when something great is about to happen for South Africa. So.
But again, you have to give it a tick again in terms of freedom of speech in South Africa.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can go against the president and say, Chief, I'm not part of that. So, whether you're wrong or you are right, but you have the freedom of speech, you know. Yeah, you can say whatever you want as long as, okay, I'm not supporting the insult.
Yeah.
But then it's that thing, you can say whatever you want.
Yeah.
But again, it's a disrespect. If our manager says, hey man, we are doing this, and I come with my ideas, Bobo, it feels like disrespect. I'm disrespecting him or her. So it was quite a disrespect for Steenhuisen to say that. We have seen some of the things that ANC believed on in the sixth administration, now they are trying to compromise themselves just to accommodate. But then it seems like they are alone. And one thing, again, what's interesting, Ugo Helen is always making the claim about DA and ANC. Like, she's always busy tweeting. Like, every day she has a tweet in the head.
I think I must say, this is the most active that we've seen Helen.
I think she totally didn't get that.
I mean, they didn't get what they wanted. They wanted Steenhuisen to be the deputy, but they didn't get that. So I think now she's just trying to make sure they tarnish the name even more.
And you can see her. They wanted some of control, form of control, because everything. I mean, we saw what happened in Joburg when we were electing provincial legislature.
Yes. Mm.
She was up in arms. We saw when they get rid of can I give them Brink? They were like, hey, Joe,
if you don't, Brink, we are going out.
I'm not saying Panyaza is corrupt or not corrupt. I don't know. I haven't seen the facts before. But then the way like they have dedicated their time to making the posters. making posters to say, you are this thing, you are a corrupt man.
They are definitely going after him with full force.
I think they see that people like him.
The Forum is also there. So, you know what? Panyas are even making videos to demonstrate to go to Panyas is corrupt.
I think this year, like with the GNU, the next 5 years are going to be pretty interesting. It's probably funny. Yeah. There's going to be a lot going on, guys. But yeah, you know what? But
there's
going
to be more fun.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be more fun. But I think right now, rest assured, majority of South Africans probably like are friends with Russia, but we'll just leave it there.
Yeah, we are independent
and we can decide who our friend is. Yeah. So let's leave it there, guys. So it's sad. I think I find Soweto depressing, actually. Like, there's always something going on in Soweto.
It was depressing since apartheid.
Yeah.
we haven't improved.
There has not been any type of movement in Soweto. So guys, a tragic case of a six-year-old Amatle Samani from Orlando, Soweto, has, I think, deeply shaken most people in the country. So Amatle was found not only strangled to death, but she was allegedly raped in a shack near her home on Monday. So Amantle was seen playing with other kids, right, when she was lured away by a man identified as Pete Simai. Is this the surname? But I'm gonna say Pete Sarane. He is a Mozambican national who was renting a shack or a back room in the same area, right? So her mother basically shared that a heartbreaking story, guys. Oh, Amantle was going to be graduating from grade R in November, but there was plans of doing a photo shoot for her just a day. Literally, she died on Monday. The photo shoot was on Tuesday, so it was a very tragic thing. And her mother was busy ironing the gown for her photo shoot on the day she was going to basically, yeah, do the photo shoot. We'll just listen to the mother now. When we went to Soweto on Wednesday, the community was up in arms. They wanted this guy to be arrested. Like, he was on the run at that time. So basically the story that we got from the community members, as well as the landlord and the mother, was that Upit took Umtwana, took him to the shack, did whatever he did, and then disappeared. But there's a 15-year-old boy in this matter, right? We didn't speak to him for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. He's a witness, a key witness, as well as the fact that he's a minor. So the child tells the mother that, no, I saw Pete leaving with Amantle. They went somewhere. But at first, I had asked Pete, why are you going with this child? Pete basically just shrugged him off and said, no, man, mind your own business. And he didn't really think much of it. But only like a few moments later, that's when he's like, hey, man. But in the off, why is Pete just walking around with a child out of nowhere? No, goes back to where Pete lives. And literally as he's walking into the yard, Pete is walking out of the yard. And he says, the landlord says, no, he's woken up by someone banging on the door. He even thinks that I'm going to get robbed. No, he opens the door, finds this boy. The boy says, can you please open that particular shack there in the back? There's a child in that shack. I saw the child through that window. Open the shack. Amantle is... Guys, like the landlord is like, I couldn't even describe the way we found her.
Two things for me. So it's a very painful story. I read it on Wednesday. It was for Thursday paper, but yeah. I read it on
Wednesday
Thursday
night.
Yeah, it's a very sad story. The fact that two things that are stuck with me in my mind. One, this boy, when he entered the house, this Peter guy was leaving. That's the first thing that is stuck in my mind. Like, I'm imagining, what if the boy entered while the coming of the guy? What could have happened to him? Secondly, actually, it's three things. Secondly, It's how the mother described the child when she found her with one of the shorts.
Yeah,
the shorts was in one leg, I think. Mm. You said. Yeah. So you just imagine that situation. Yeah. You're a mother. You find your six-year-old
in a state
in that state. Mm. You're trying to say, okay, go fetch water. Let's pour water. And you have hope that she'll say, I'm okay, mom. Oh, okay, Shap, you have seen what happened, obviously, when you see the trouser, it's one-sided. But the fact that you are not thinking that your daughter has passed on, Robo, you are trying to even have water
to wake her up.
And then thirdly, it's this guy having the nerve to escape. After doing that thing, like how do you as a person
run away?
Actually, how do you commission that crime on a 6 year old? I mean, it's a sad story. It's a crazy, very sad story.
And I think they're becoming way too often in South Africa. Because earlier on, this week again, I was reading a story about a man who appeared in court for raping his two daughters while the mother was. Even in the house.
There's another one who raped 13, 6. When you wrote about 10 and 6.
And 6.
Yeah.
And literally these are kids, guys. How do you as a person see a child, and then you want to now do that horrific thing to a child, let alone rape an adult. To a child who has no power. To now even scream, because like we look at Amanda, like the way that the mother says that she asked everyone, the children who were playing, where have you seen Amanda? The children, like, they don't know where Amanda is. So what did Amanda know? Pete, did Amanda walk away willingly with Pete? Like, those are just the questions that come up, and it's like, what goes on, right? So the provincial commissioner held a press briefing. And basically, they were telling us that Pete was arrested and he was found in another one of his rented residences in Zola as well, in Soweto. And when they arrested him, they found that this guy actually was in the country undocumented. He was documented, but he was not welcomed to stay because his passport, although it expires in 2027, it's a passport of Mozambique, not passport of South Africa. So the time span of him being welcomed in South Africa expired long time ago in 2022, and he never went back. So that's also another problem that the police are looking at. That first of all, the landlords also, you guys are also responsible.
Yeah.
So they said they know they're going to arrest them. So we'll just also take a listen to Lieutenant General Tommy Mtombeni on that one.
We are confirming as the South African Police Service of the arrest of the suspect for rape and murder of a six-year-old. Of a concern on this case is that we still... have quite a serious challenge with some of the South Africans. They keep on harboring illegal immigrants. I can confirm that this suspect is illegal so in South Africa. And yet we have in some of the South Africans, they are collecting rent, monthly, the following month, they're collecting rent.
So, guys, I think there's a lot of issues in this one, hey? There's the fact that Umtwana is raped and murdered.
Yeah.
There's the fact that there's landlords who now still, I think after, how many times must the police continue to say, don't rent out to people who don't have documentation? And then there's on top of that, the fact that we have people who don't have documentation. It's so much, Nandi. What do you think?
No, like, it's really sad. I'm even thinking about the 15-year-old boy who saw the whole thing. I mean, for sure, in his mind, that I could have maybe grabbed Amanda by force from this guy. But because, I'm a kid myself and then walking into the... I like the, like, his bravery saying that, also the concern in his heart, let me check, because I saw this person earlier on, and then now, and I mean, that, I mean, yo, I feel sorry for this. It's very sad. And I just pray that they do not drag the case.
Yeah, no. But he's appearing in court today.
Like, it should just go straight but to... Yeah.
Again, you ask yourself if he had the nerve to do whatever he did with a six-year-old, what more could have he done?
Yeah.
Previously. Let's not forget... I'm not saying it's not important in this case, but what other cases does he have except this one?
He might have more, because what if this is the... Just not even the first one, like you're saying?
Yeah.
It might be more.
It's quite a sad story.
Yeah, it's very sad.
Yeah, you know, I think it kind of broke a lot of people's shame, I'm not gonna lie. So, yeah, hopefully the police... Please, I hope the Belevere, they don't lose it. They put it on track. They follow the evidence, protect the witness, do everything that they can to actually nail this guy.
But they acted fast, eh?
They, I must say they did act fast.
The third thing I wanted to raise, I read in your story that this guy had been staying for 4 months. And at some time, he stayed with a girlfriend and a child. So you get to ask yourself if that child was not a victim.
Guys, I didn't even want to think about that.
It's a sad story.
It is a definitely a sad story. But let's move on from another child to Nandi, went to visit the family of 18-year-old Unalinna, who basically suddenly died at school on September 13. So Nandi spoke to the grandmother.
Yeah, I spoke to the grandmother.
Nandi spoke to the grandmother.
Aula Unalinna di kaus. Amu pomp. Amu butsa la ka hano. Ka ipotsa hore ho ba amu etsa nuna sametse. Ha ba qala ba mo beha huma bethe. Ntho empe ke le moleng ba nkile ba mo beha huma bethe ba kwala munyako. Ba mo tloela. So ba ambulance ba botsa ba thoba ba thusitse ka eng ya nka go ene se ho builo o ile ka se ke ka tsela e nngwe ke tse principal a ke tse ke ke tsa principal o fitlile e lo khale ke sokala nna e lo ntate o ya no ba gaseditse o ba gaseditse principal a ka fitla ne ntse le principal a le bula nna nka se kgone ya tlhile o tshola jwa a ka nna ka se khono ya go so nna ka bona gore ka ge ya no re tsa ka dikoloi tsa bona ga ka hona puo ke la ka e bua se se ke batla go tla ngwana ha re e ke ona ntse ke ba tla
who basically said that no they were at first it seemed as if it was a fight between friends but Nandi, I'll let you explain it because I'm still kind of confused of how exactly he died.
I think the family as well is still confused as to, I mean, what really happened to our child. Because apparently one of the learners came rushing into the house saying, Ona fell, we were playing fist fighting and he fell. And I thought he was joking when he fell, but it was serious. And one of the things that broke my heart is that this thing could have been prevented. Fine, yes, he fell, they were playing, but he stays 15 minutes away from the school. There's a teacher that stays close by the house. So the principal says that the teachers got lost. So imagine that time, where else this one boy, immediately when this thing happened, ran to the parents. But they couldn't take that same boy and say, go show us to where this boy stays. So that whole process, I mean, the mother came around 3. They said the incident happened at 12:30. It could have been prevented because apparently, the teachers say that we can't take the kid by our own, to the hospital. We had to get permission from you. They could have received that permission saying that, no, let's take it. I, as the parents, say, no, let's take my child. But they waited that 2 hours. Now Ona just died go the sick bay apparently, and
because now first of all there's no policy that says that that teachers must wait for the parents
forget about that case ne. Let's say it is, I'm not sure, let's say it is, but I mean I thought we have smartphones.
They said in terms of the phone
I thought like, we have smartphones.
Like, I was so irritated when the deputy was like, we wanted to call the ambulance first, call the police and call the parents so that they simultaneously come. And then immediately when they wanted to call the parents, the other kid was like, no, he stays nearby. Ah, no, we stopped calling the parents. We sent the teachers who got lost.
No, but my thing is, so there's so many things that's going on with this story. First of all, like Herman says, they could have just called the parents. While the boy's running to the home, they still continue calling the parents. Secondly, I think while you're calling the parents, you can still call an ambulance.
How many educators are there?
If there is a policy that says you can't take the child out of the premises to the hospital, then call the ambulance to come to the school care while you're waiting. Like, I don't understand. There's so many loopholes in that story. It doesn't make sense, and it just causes more suspicion onto what exactly happened to O'Nalin. Thank you.
So, for me, one thing, you're saying you got lost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, phone call.
To say, hey, Joe,
your son is sick. Please rush to the school.
Mm.
Okay, sharp, you got lost. How? Because when you open the file, there's an address.
Yeah.
To say, okay, habo hemeniki moli moli. You go there, you look, and obviously at the situation, who do you want to add about the place? Who knows the place? Will say, I can rush there. And I mean, you don't have two teachers in the school or one teacher who was busy getting lost and the other one was trying to make a call and then the child told him, oh no, I know the parents, I know the way they stay. I mean, it does not make sense, Joe. It does not.
It really
Let's
does
be
not.
Honest. The principal was trying to make a story.
He was not a good storyteller. Yeah. Yeah. I think they were covering up something.
I'm sorry to say it, but he's not a good storyteller.
Yeah,
he can't make stories.
Shame.
I mean,
yeah.
You just called to say, hey, Joe.
Why not we?
There's a problem. Can you please rush to school? Or can you rush to the hospital?
Where we are going.
We are rushing to the hospital. Can you please rush there also?
It's quite a sad story. This school probably had a protocol that we don't know about. It's a weird protocol that I have never seen.
I mean, the 24 kids who were rushed to hospital yesterday in Mpumalanga.
They were taken directly from the school and taken to the hospital. So that story, I find it very hard to believe, Nandi. Yeah. I think the principal of the school is definitely hiding something. But you know what? We'll also leave that one to the Department of Education. Hopefully they do a great job, because sometimes the department sometimes, but let's hope the family like definitely gets the justice that they need. So guys, it's been a sad week, week. We're hit with a sad story after a sad story after a sad story, right? So the nation, guys, I must say, I love how South Africans handle stuff when stuff happens, right? So the South Africans have called for Cyril Ramaphosa, our lovely president, to have a family meeting to discuss the nation's heartbreak, guys. Re Botoko were in pain. Our lovely, lovely Springbok captain, Siya Kolisi, and his wife, Rachel, have called it quits. They're like, no, they basically shared their news on Instagram about how this came after a deep reflection, and they discussed it and realized this was the only solution that could help both sides and not really hurt the family. And they said that they would still be continuing to work with the Kolisi Foundation, and they're basically asking, guys, just understand where we're coming from.
Sure.
It's been a long time coming, it seems. Maybe we didn't see it coming. Everybody's shocked that, you know what, the nation's sweethearts have died? How? Nandipa, what was your reaction when you heard it?
I was not following them, At first, but to think that, Sia and Rachel, it did come as a shock, and I was reading the comments, people were saying that Mjolo 2024 is not taking anyone, no one is an exception, and it's
left a lot of people heartbroken.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's really sad.
A lot of people took to social media to basically share how they were feeling. You know, some of them, let's just take a listen to some of those clips, guys.
Guys, angaze ngakho wiswa relationship yabantu, so hayi laba bayithu bazosimisela ngenhliziyo. Guys, angowi go guarantee. ngicela ukunifundela le statement. Yo, we wanted to share some important news with you. After much reflection and open conversations, we have mutually decided to end our marriage. This decision comes from a place of love, respect, and understanding that this is the best path forward for both of us. While our relationship as a couple is changing, we remain great friends and committed partners in raising our children with the love and care they've always known. We will also continue working together on the foundation that means so much to us. We are grateful for the love, understanding, and support you've shown us, and we kindly ask for your respect. Guys, I'm gonna get that. Guys, like, magu shugana laba abayi example kids laba esibathembile thina siyophephela phi.
I'm honestly not shocked that Sia and Rachel are getting divorced. I watched the documentary, and I'm sure those who also watched the documentary are not shocked. I think a lot of us were concentrating on Sia Kolisi's big story of how he became this big rugby star and so forth, and we missed the point that was addressed about the cheating, you know, and the abuse and so forth. To be honest, I think Rachel ran a good race and she did her best, but she got to a point where she was honestly tired, and that's okay.
Rachel and Sia Kolisi are getting divorced. Aibo. So guys, Sia Kolisi and the wife, they issued a joint statement via the IG ukuthi they are getting divorced. Nake phezulu ningasifundela. Hey kunabanye abajabulile yazi. Hey kunabanye abajabulile kule. As in ni aware mara ukuthi kunabantu abajabulile downfall yomunye umuntu. Hey kunabanye abajabulile. Mara le community le beyimthanda uSia. Just guys, just when I thought ukuthi the GNU is working, Sia is getting divorced. Hey mara matotana umshato. Yazi umshato angeke uconfirm.
Yes, I'm so glad ukuthi I woke up to the news. And I didn't go to bed with the news, because if the Kolisis could not hold on to, and they're headed to divorce, Tina, I'm telling you, 2024, from January or from January.
So, hey man, what are your thoughts, Tase?
I don't have thoughts on this one. Firstly, I feel like it is a personal matter.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sharp, Feli? And now you are drafting a statement. You are inviting us to your marriage, and you are not telling us what's the problem. So hence I'm not going to feel anything, because you're inviting us, and then how fate of invite that you're not offering us tea. You're saying, okay, come sit down.
Ah, no, they open the door. Me. They open the door.
Yeah,
the
guys.
But then, you know what? This goes back to the whole thing about people who are in public, right? Just because I'm in public, I'm a public figure, doesn't mean I must tell you.
Yeah. But they shouldn't have released that statement in the sky
and guessing. We say,
how?
No,
not them sitting down and drafting a statement
who,
for us.
Who, or you were seen with who. But now you are releasing a joint statement. That means you sit down and you say, you know what? This is a good idea. Let's do it, my love or my ex. And then in that statement, you're not even giving us, or you know what? Sia cheated. Or
So we're left asking ourselves who went wrong.
So now I have to invest my thoughts in it. Oh no, man. Last week I saw Rachel posting about this guy. No, man. See, so I'm not going to entertain it. I'm not there. I'm not coming. I'm dizzy. I'm not coming.
Heaven would dramatic you for no reason.
No,
but it's fine. No, but it's fine.
I'm
it's
easy.
Fine. It's fine. We'll let you be. We'll let you be. Heaven says he does not have any thoughts, guys. You know about that drama, and he wasn't giving it.
So he's leaving it there.
But guys, I think at this point it's better to do it this way than to stay for Bana. You know those people who say, no, let's stay for the kids. Then Bana, they continue to be traumatized through this whole nonsense. So I think they made a good decision in their own position. Especially considering the fact they get a public figure, man. They're public figures. And hopefully, this does not mess up Usia mentally. Because, I guess, I mean, we still have rugby. We need to look forward to still something in some sort of way. But yeah. Okay, so guys, speaking of sports-related topics, right? So, I guess South Africa, you know, South Africa is just that. She's that girl, you know. You know, obviously, I love the whole phrase, no DNA, just RSA, you know. So, oh, Bafana Bafana captain, guys. We spoke about him, I think, a few weeks back. Ronan Williams, right, has, again, been having an outstanding year. And is now up for, I think, three more prestigious nominations for the 2024 CAF Awards, right? So he's nominated for African Player of the Year, Goalkeeper of the Year, and Inter-Club Player of the Year. Guys, Mugai is doing the most. He is not missing. Hemen,
but we saw in AFCON, like, he was doing the most. Mm. I mean, with his saves, he deserves it.
Yeah.
It has been coming. I mean, he put his everything into it, and it's good to see that our Bafana Bafana is coming to life, you know, after that disappointing 5 years that we lost to France. I can't forget that thing, but it's a good thing that we are getting there slowly but surely. And also I'm happy for Williams firstly because he's a goalkeeper at Mamelodi Sundowns.
Wow, you guys.
And then, he's also Bafana Bafana captain and also goalkeeper. He's doing well. He's doing an amazing job as a goalkeeper. He's disciplined.
He's showing potential to other kids, man. He's showing even his own colleagues. If my captain was nominated for such prestigious awards,
it shows
we can also be capable of doing the same. Yeah. And meaning we are actually good, because, you know, I guess sometimes, you know, South Africans, like, at some point we were like, you guys will support you when we start seeing a difference.
Yeah.
Now, Ronan Williams has been nominated.
So it's like that vibe again. Just buying a ticket to watch football, Bafana Bafana play.
They're definitely winning over the pride again. And I think it's definitely showing, and it's definitely it's good for them. Nandi?
Like, it's not that uneasy, but sports it's, I don't have
any comment on sports. No, it's okay. Nandile Navelevele. Hey, soccer's not my thing. But you know what? We're happy for Williams.
Yeah, we're very happy for him.
We're very, very happy for Williams. We're very, very happy for the recognition that is also coming.
Sports is not for you, but people's marriage are for you guys. Wow!
Stop it.
Anyway, guys, let's leave Hemen in his wickedness. So that's all for this week's news wrap, guys. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts, review and subscribe for free on Ayono FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. You can also find us or follow us on all social media platforms at Sowetan Live. This podcast is a Times Live production, and our producer is Demi Buzo. Don't forget, you can also have a listen to our other podcasts, Sunday Times Politics Weekly, Taking the Rhymes by the Horns, Business Day Spotlight, Gogo Have I Been Scammed, and 30 Years of Democracy. Thank you for tuning in, guys. Join us next week again for more updates on the biggest stories. And if you haven't, like, if we didn't cover it all, please go to our website. It's fine. For me, from me, Gwena Mashale, and my colleagues Herman and Nandi, bye.
Bye.